and he continues to saddle big horse after big horse, including Maxfield, who goes to the post in today's Grade 1 Whitney at Saratoga. And Brendan is with me live from Saratoga this morning. Brendan, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
How about that trip down memory lane? What do you remember about that day?
I know, yeah. Remember it like it was yesterday, Mike, to be honest. You know, it was great. We were thrilled. You know, he was a good horse. Like you said, he was our first graded stake winner, and he went on to do some great things and kept us in the game at a time when we were struggling a little bit too. So, no, he'll always have a place in our hearts, you know.
Did you find, Brendan, that after that victory, your phone started ringing, you started to get people talking more about Brendan Walsh and sending you a few more horses here and there? Did you find that it was almost an immediate increase in attention after that?
Yeah, well, he went on, thankfully, Mike, he went on that fall and he won the Old Breeders' Cup Marathon as well. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely was a good, you know, he definitely did more for us than probably any horse has done. You know, he put us on the map initially and kind of got the whole thing going. But, yeah, I mean, that's the best form of advertising, right, is when you can win these type of races.
And now you're sitting here with a horse that's among the favorites in the Grade 1 Whitney. You have a horse in the Grade 2 Glen's Fall Stakes at Saratoga today. You have horses running a stakes race at Ellis Park today and tomorrow. Do you ever just stop and look back and say, oh, my goodness, how did I ever get here?
I do all the time, Mike. It's kind of... It's daunting to look back at it and wonder how did it actually happen? Because I think if I was told I had to go through it again, I don't know that I would even try. But no, I don't mean that. It's been great. You know, it's nice to have a horse like this guy today. You know, that's what we're all in the game for, is to have a horse like him. You know, a top horse. And you know, hopefully, I don't know if there will be any many as nice as them, but, you know, you're always striving for the next one, I guess.
You know, it's funny. You catch a five-horse field in the Whitney, and you go, okay, cool. We're only going to have to beat four other horses. And then you look at the past performances, and you see Nick's Go in there. You see the champion three-year-old filly, Swiss Skydiver, in there. You see Silver State in there for Hall of Famer Steve Asmussen, the all-time leading trainer in the history of thoroughbred racing. And you have to go, oh, my goodness, what do I have to do to catch a break, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, it's a tough race, but, you know, it's the Whitney, it's Saratoga.
Yeah.
You know, no grade one, absolutely no grade one is easy. You know, and it'll be a great test for Max today. You know, and I think he's up to, you know, he's ready for this now. I'm not going to turn around afterwards and say, oh, well, maybe he wasn't ready for it. You know, we finally got some seasoning into the horse, and you know, he's been doing great, which I think he showed his last couple of runs. And you know, I don't think we'll have any excuses from that point of view. If things don't work out today, you know, I think he's ready to do this and to take on these type of horses, and hopefully he proves that he is good enough to run with the very best of them.
What are some of the things, Brendan, that you've been looking for in Maxfield since that win in the Stephen Foster that tell you that he's ready to fire a big shot here today?
You know, he's very level horse temperamentally, Mike. You know, he came out of his race good, as he does, and you know, he's done great since. He's done really well at Saratoga, which I think horses can do for some reason when they come up here. I don't know if it's the cooler weather or the water or what, but horses just seem to do. Certain horses seem to do awfully well here. You know, I was talking to my assistant yesterday. We were talking about how much he's eating up here. I mean, it's scary the amount of food that this horse consumes. you know, like stuff like that. And then his work's been very good. He's done great physically. He's moving great. His works have been spot on. You know, we've gotten to do exactly what we want to do. And I think when you're able to do that, then, you know, you show up on the day and, you know, you've given it your best shot. And you know, after that, it's up to him and up to Jose.
There doesn't appear to be much other speed to keep Nixko company on the front end. And we know how dangerous he can be when he's loose on the lead. He loves this this particular distance. He's 2 for 2 at the distance. Do you do anything different or have a different conversation with Jose Ortiz knowing that, okay, we can't let this horse get too far out in front? Or do you just stick to your game plan and say, hey, we're going to take our shot that we can run him down late?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that we need to change, you know, like Nixko, he doesn't need to change his plan. I don't think we need to change ours. You know, he probably is the lone speed there, but I don't think that Kenny McPeak's filly is going to be a million miles away from him. I don't think that Steve Askison's horse is going to be too far away from him. So, you know, he probably will be on the lead, but if he tries to slow it down or that, I think they're going to be there where they can jump on him. You know, I don't think he's going to get an easy lead per se. You know, and my horse probably isn't going to be a million miles away from him either.
Yeah, good stuff. Talking with Brendan Walsh here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Brendan, you also send out Temple City Terror in the Grade 2 Glens Falls. Tell me a little bit more about Temple City Terror.
Well, she's just been a great filly to have, Mike. She's, you know, just a hard-trying filly, a hard-knocking filly, always has been. It took her a long time to break her maiden, but, you know, she was always one of these fillies. Once she matured and got a little stronger, she was always going to get a little better. She loves to train. I think since we stretched her out, you know, she won the stake, obviously, at Churchill the first time we stretched her out. She beat Delica. Delica beat her the last day at Delaware. You know, we didn't have the greatest trip that day. We had to take her on again, as well as two or three other really nice fillies. But I think she's done well since Delaware, and she's done well up here as well. And I think she's sitting on a good race, and we'll just have to see whether it's going to be good enough.
Well, we'll find out later today. You're going to be busy at Ellis Park too, Brendan, even though you can't be in two places at one time. But you have a couple of horses entered in the Kentucky Downs Preview Stakes today. You have four more horses entered in those respective stakes races tomorrow at Ellis Park too. Kind of walk me through some of those horses. I know Ethical Judgment will go to the post today in the Dueling Grounds Derby, and then Born Great in the Kentucky Downs Preview Turf Sprint Stakes. Tell me more about them.
Yeah, they're two nice horses. Ethical Judgment has been a solid horse since we started with him. You know, we went to run him on grass. He did run on grass initially and was second, I believe, in his maiden first time out. And then he won an off-turf maiden at Keeneland. And we kind of went the dirt route. Ran the Ohio Derby, ran a nice race. We've always toyed, though, with bringing him back to the turf. And this race today looked like a good spot to run him back in. You know, with a view to maybe going to the race at Kentucky Downs next time out. But he's a lovely horse. He seems like he goes on both surfaces. Always runs a good race, so he shouldn't be too far away today. And then Born Grace, you know, another solid horse. The 5.5 today is probably as sharp as he needs to go, but he does love Kentucky Downs. He won twice there last year in a week. You know, the 6.5 there hits him right between the eyes. So hopefully we might get away with the 5.5 today, even though it is a tough spot. But I think he can be very competitive. He was unlucky his last start at Churchill not to quite get there. But hopefully, you know, he was coming off a layoff. Hopefully he'll be a little sharper today. And you know, we'll see. Maybe he can get the job done.
Well, Brendan, you've always been a big supporter of the racing at Ellis Park and, of course, at Kentucky Downs, too. I know you're a big fan. People will forget that Maxfield actually started his young career by training at Ellis Park before he went on to all of his greatest stakes glory. So you've been an advocate for this particular racetrack and that surface for a very long time.
Yeah, no, we've had two-year-olds in Ellis the last few years, Mike. You know, it's a great surface down there. You know, it's nice and quiet down there. It's actually a nice place. In the mornings, it's a nice place to train. You know, and the two-year-olds have always done well down there. So, you know, and of course, these races are a nice lead up to Kentucky Downs, which we always like a bit of Kentucky Downs as well, Mike. So, you know, it all intertwines pretty good.
Yeah, and the money down there at Kentucky Downs doesn't hurt either, does it?
No, it doesn't. It's always an attraction as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, go get some more money in the bankroll today with those horses at Saratoga and at Ellis Park, and we'll continue to talk more as we move forward down the road to the Breeders' Cup, my friend. But good luck today. We'll be cheering for you.
Thanks very much, Mike. Thanks for having me on.